You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Spoken angry reaction from Russia. U.S. Air Force General Philip Breedlove says the U.S. is considering giving Ukraine weapons to help protect forces along the border from escalating assaults by Russian-backed separatists. But some NATO allies are expressing unease about the idea. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Tonight, it's the move everyone's been waiting for. The Blacklist moves to the all-new NBC Thursday with an episode people will be talking about.
Consider it a bonus.
Then, it's the premiere of Allegiance, the thrilling new drama the critics are already calling outstanding, impressive. Entertainment Weekly raves, this new drama will make you pledge allegiance. The premiere of Allegiance follows The Blacklist on a great new night of dramas. Tonight at 9, 8 central, the all-new NBC Thursday.
A California university has experienced an anti-Semitic attack. Here's USA Radio's senior correspondent Jason Wirtz.
A Jewish fraternity at the University of California, Davis, was the subject of a hate crime when swastikas were painted on their building. Seth Brisk of the Anti-Defamation League tells USA Radio News the timing of the attack was significant.
That was the end of the week in which we commemorated International Holocaust Remembrance Day, was the 70th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz from the Nazis. So to have a Nazi symbol put onto the house where young Jewish men are living and readily identified as a Jewish house, it makes it all the more upsetting.
The incident also followed a vote by the UC Davis Student Senate to support the anti-Semitic boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement.
Doctors have said there is nothing more they can do for Bobby Christina Brown. AP Entertainment editor Oscar Wells Gabriel reports that amid the conflicting accounts, one thing is clear, her life hangs in the balance.
There are a lot of people out there saying they know this or that from this source or the other, but the only official statement from the family is that Bobby Christina Brown is fighting for her life. According to what was pieced together from various accounts, she was face down in water for several minutes and not breathing. That's a condition that can result in brain damage due to a lack of oxygen.
Brown was found unresponsive and face down in a bathtub last Saturday. She is the daughter of late singer Whitney Houston, who died in a drug-related death in 2012. This is USA Radio News. I'm Bob Kellogg.
The news is sponsored by Patton, Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they'll live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their own terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton, Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within your reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services, Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC.
And before we get going, a brief check of the weather shows the temperature is currently 27 degrees at 12:05. The forecast shows that for today it'll be partly cloudy with snow showers through the early afternoon, a high of 30 degrees. Tonight it will be frigid with a low of just 3 degrees. Tomorrow it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 25 and a low of 15. For Saturday, looking at sunny skies with increasing clouds in the afternoon, a high of 36 degrees and a low of 23. And for Sunday into Monday and Tuesday, it'll be cloudy with a high of 31 degrees, a low of 23, and snow will be likely throughout the day and evening with possible accumulations of 1 to 3 inches expected on Sunday. That'll continue on Monday as well. On today's program, I'll be talking about the Super Bowl game and the top commercials, what matters to millennials at work, 3 secrets to retaining your best employees, 5 things to do before you apply for a job. I'll try to define what is meant by work ethic, and I'll outline a blueprint for a successful startup. All that and more right now on Taking Care of Business. And I'll be taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I'll be taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business and working overtime will help. Well, good afternoon, everybody. It's Thursday. It's a little after noon o'clock, and that means just one thing. You're listening and taking care of business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Current check of the financial market shows the Dow is up 155.09 to 17,828.11, NASDAQ up 33.15 to 4749.62, S&P 500 up 16.66 to 2058.03, oil up $2.60 to $51.05 a barrel, gold down $1.50 to $1,263 an ounce. Hey, Pete Carroll and the Seattle Seahawks, you just won the Super Bowl. What are you going to do now?
Jim, check that. The Seahawks didn't win the Super Bowl.
What? The Seahawks didn't win the Super Bowl? What are you talking about? They were on the one-yard line with 30 seconds to go. They had 3 downs, 2 timeouts. How could they not win the Super Bowl?
They threw an interception on the first play.
They what? They threw an interception? Are you kidding me? In front of 114.4 million viewers? Pete Carroll actually decided to throw the ball? Are you kidding me? Now, if this was Warner Wolf back in the old CBS News days, he would have made the call as soon as Jermaine Kearse had made that spectacular catch, and then Marshawn Lynch runs it to the one-yard line. He would have said, turn your sets off there, that famous line of his, the game is over. But no, Pete Carroll and the offensive coordinator decided to throw the ball on the one-yard line, and it gets intercepted. And Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the deflated, or now inflated, New England Patriots go on to win the Super Bowl. I just can't understand that play call, and I don't think I ever will. And I've been following or playing football my whole life. Even in Pop Warner, I have never seen such a stupid play call selection in my life. And the only other question I have as it pertains to the Super Bowl is, why is it that the Dancing Sharks were my favorite part of the halftime show? Absolutely insane. Well, thanks to the folks at NBC for letting me borrow their theme music. And just wanted to go through while we have it. We were talking a little bit about the commercials last week and how a lot of people will actually just tune in for the commercials. So as I projected, Budweiser's Lost Dog commercial came in at number one, according to the USA Today ad meter poll. Always had the commercial Like a Girl, and it was featuring boys being asked the question, what's it like to throw like a girl, run like a girl, things like that. And then it's finally finishes with the young girl say, what's it like to run like a girl? She goes, as fast as I can. And then the Fiat Blue Pill, that took third place, according to USA Today's ad meter poll. When I was watching the game, I put it out on Facebook to our listeners to see if anybody wanted to weigh in. And overwhelmingly, it was the Budweiser Lost Dog. And then the other one that people liked was the middle seat commercial by Doritos. That actually came in fifth. Microsoft's Braylon, where the technology is being used for the young boy to use prosthetic legs, came in fourth. Rounding out the top 10 was Dodge's Wisdom commercial, where they had a bunch of people who were over 100 years old in the commercial. Toyota's My Bold Dad came in seventh. A very creative commercial that I liked. Coca-Cola's Make It Happy, where the technician in a server room spills Coca-Cola in the controls, and then across the whole World Wide Web, people start getting messages about making it happy. The With Dad commercials from Nissan, that was number 9. And something that, although I don't eat there very often, and please make sure my wife hears that, I don't eat at McDonald's. I've given up fast food, for several years now. So, but I would love to walk into a McDonald's and see one of the pay with loving occurrences, you know, where they're saying, you know, call your mother, or, you know, hug your son, or tell your son why he's special, or something like that. Rounding out the list, there's always got to be a bottom, doesn't there? Apparently, I've lost the connection. Oh, there it is. So, wow, this is taking forever to load. But most of the movie trailers and NBC promos, they all did horribly as far as that was concerned, according to the USA Today ad meter. The last one was Heroes Charge, which is a new movie or a game. The Jublia Tackle It, which I think was something to do with foot fungus. Even Kim Kardashian's T-Mobile commercial, 59th. Squarespace's Ohm commercial with Jeff Bridges. The Game of War, 50 Shades of Grey. The GoDaddy commercial about the working entrepreneur. Lexus's Make Some Noise and Geico's Push It with Salt and Pepper. Or Peppa, came in at 53. A couple more movies. The Loctite Positive Feelings was bad, and even the Victoria's Secret commercial, figuring that, you know, playing to men, only ranked in the top 50. So glad to be a part of the USA Today ad meter poll once again. It was, fun to take part in that and see how my choices stacked up with the rest of the world. And, I look forward to being there again. This is about the fifth year that I've done this. And, it's kind of fun at the end of the Super Bowl. I know how my votes added up, so very pleased to see that for about the fourth or fifth year in a row, my choice again was number one, and that was, of course, the Budweiser commercial. What else do we have to talk about? Well, we had a card club, a networking event at Crown Trophy last week that went off very well. There was a threat of some snow that put a damper on some things, but overall, great food from the folks over at ShopRite. So thanks again to everybody over at ShopRite, and thanks to everybody who participated and came out to the Card Club event at Crown Trophy. We're looking forward to doing it again. We bill it as Hunterdon County's largest tailgate, and we had about 100 people there in attendance, so glad that everybody could come out and join us for a good networking event. Winner this year in the Build a Trophy contest with a lightning fast time of 37 seconds. I think that's our record. Last year, the winner had 41 seconds, was a gentleman named Richard Hall. So he went home with the trophy that he made and a $25 gift card to ShopRite. So thank you very much for participating. Well, every week at this time, well, it seems like every week at this time, we have to roll out the apology train. And this week, it kind of hurts and it stings a little bit because I am a big fan of Brian Williams on NBC Nightly News. Being a broadcasting major, one of the things that I look for is who's going to be the most objective? Who's not going to put a slant on things? And I've often found that Brian reports accurately and fairly. And so when it came time for him to issue an apology this week, I was a little miffed and a little put off by that. But last night he had to apologize because last week he had reported a story about a sergeant that he had met about 12 years ago in Afghanistan. And he had reported that his helicopter had been shot down, that this sergeant had guarded him for 2 days. And it turns out that Brian Williams was never in that helicopter. He was in one behind it. And while the team was grounded for 2 days to suggest that you had been shot down by an RPG, simply inexcusable. So for Brian Williams, it's time to roll out Brenda Lee's I'm Sorry. And hopefully it won't happen again.
I'm sorry, so sorry, that I was such a fool.
We'll be right back.
I
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hello, this is psychic medium Trish Woods with the program Afterlife Real Life that airs every Thursday from 1 to 3 p.m. My co-host is psychic medium Jane Davidson from the United Kingdom. We have listeners and callers from all over the world. We're looking forward to hearing what you want to know about with metaphysics, spirituality, personal spirit experiences, psychic work, and more. From 1 to 3 p.m. every Thursday, you can call in or tune in, asking Jane and I your questions, your personal ideas, and maybe getting help with your own personal life. Afterlife Real Life, every Thursday, 1 to 3 p.m.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Hi, this is Joe Peters at Weikert Realtors. If you are considering buying or selling a house this year, you have probably already gathered a lot of information. In a way, that is a little like taking a drink of water out of a fire hose in that you're no longer thirsty and at the same time are a little overwhelmed by all of the information that you have found. This is where I can be of help. As a local real estate market specialist, I can help you by understanding your objectives, showing you how to assemble that information that you've already found, supplementing it with highly accurate and timely data that I have access to, and assisting you in developing a strategy to turn your objectives into reality. Let's start by spending a few minutes over the telephone. Please give me a call at 908-238-0118 to get that process started. If you are considering buying or selling a house this year, we should be talking now. Once again, this is Joe Peters at Weikert Realtors at 908-238-0118. And you could also visit my site at my first initial J, my last name, Peters.com.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington, and I'm proud to be your host of this program for going on 3 years now, and glad you could join us. You know, when we talk about taking care of business, it also means sometimes taking care of your employees, so I do want to give a shout-out to one of my employees, Jen Izzo, who's been with me for about 5.5 years, and Jen, right now, as we are on the air, is undergoing her first treatment for chemotherapy, for treatment of bladder cancer, and obviously the whole family at Crown Trophy is wishing her well in that. Not sure if she's able to listen today, but hopefully she'll get the message that we're all thinking about her. We love you and can't wait for you to come back and join us. Well, when we talk about content marketing strategy, I think there's a lot of times when people blur the lines and get a little confused about what that means. One of the biggest mistakes that I see in business or for business owners they make is that they blog about their business, and it's confusing blogging with a content marketing strategy. And it's true that the two are inseparably related, but they're also different. And it's an important distinction that too many business owners don't make. Knowing the difference means the difference between a business blog that gets nothing but digital crickets and one that reaches all the right readers at the right time, generates leads for your business, and ultimately will make you more money. Now, what's the difference between blogging and content marketing strategy? When internet business owners first get started with blogging, they often think that that's enough, and they write a blog post filled with great information and inspiration. They post it to their website, they share it to Facebook and Twitter, and they call it good. But blogging is just the beginning. All blogging is content marketing, but not all content marketing is blogging. So here's an easy definition. Content marketing is creating and sharing valuable, relevant content with your followers for the purpose of generating leads and business. Blogging is only one way of creating content. And for a lot of businesses, it's the main way, even the most important way, but it's still not the only way. Content marketing includes blogs, articles, white papers, videos, recipes, slideshow presentations, audio files, podcasts, Facebook updates, tweets, pins, Instagram, vines, webinars, reports, how-to guides, checklists, worksheets, infographics, pictures, ebooks, demonstrations, and case studies, just to name a few. Sound a little overwhelming? It doesn't have to be. Now, you might have heard that content marketing is for the big guys and other lies. With all those possibilities, a lot of solopreneurs and micro business owners might start to feel overwhelmed and discouraged. A lot of folks say, I just don't have the budget to create all that content. Content marketing is just for the big guys. In fact, content marketing is probably more important for the micro business because you don't have the marketing dollars for mass marketing. Content marketing is somewhat of a more equal playing field. Small independent businesses can have a big impact without spending big bucks. I was chatting with a new business owner last week, and she told me how she'd gotten upset and flustered when she realized that a much larger competitor was flooding the market with what we call TOMA, or top-of-mind advertising, so much so that people thought her competitor was the only option. Now, I pointed out to her that, in my opinion, this was actually great for her. But why? Because every time there seems to be only one option, you can bet your bottom dollar that there are more people Googling alternative to X and looking for someone like her. Now, she can position herself as being less expensive or a more effective alternative, and she can do it using content marketing. She'll look like the grassroots upstart David to the corporate Goliath, and there are plenty of people in her industry who would be excited to be working for an independent person. Now, here's the key. When it comes right down to it, nobody's going to care if your videos are shot on a fancy pants video camera or your trusty iPhone. If the information is valuable and useful to them, they'll watch it. And here's an action tip. Focus on creating valuable content in a variety of formats to create a content marketing plan that works for you. Valuable content in a variety of formats equals content marketing. I've also heard that it takes too much time, and that's the next lie that I often hear business owners tell me, is that it just takes too much time. And they hear about big businesses having full-time staffers answering tweets, creating pinnable graphics, and shooting videos, and they think that if they can't do content marketing full-time, then they can't do it at all, and they couldn't be more wrong. If you have a micro business, it's likely that you don't need full-time staffers to do these things. You just need to make doing a few of them part of your regular routine. The traffic results, however, can be impressive. Another example might be creating a downloadable transcript when you post an audio or video. You can pay a freelancer a small hourly fee to create a transcript of your video or podcast and offer it as a download. Require a quick opt-in to download the transcript, and suddenly you've got a lead generation tool that took very little additional time or money to create. Making content marketing a part of your plan. So, look, I run a small business myself, and I'm the one wearing multiple hats where my business is concerned, including CEO, CMO, CIO, CFO, MOUSE, and probably a lot of other acronyms. The point is, I don't have access to a team to help me do my content marketing, but that doesn't get me off the hook for doing it. And I've got a zillion other things to be doing just like you do. So what's a small business owner to do? First, you have to make a plan. And sometimes I feel like a broken record when I say those words, make a plan. But the only way to make this stuff work, or any part of your business work, is with a plan. You have to have a strategy for how you're going to make it all happen. And it doesn't have to involve hours and hours of work. So create your content marketing strategy. Make a list of content marketing actions that you want to take. Don't go hog wild with this right away. Instead, pick a couple of things that you want to do on multiple channels and in multiple formats. Number two, assign them the time in your schedule, 30 minutes or less. We're looking for easy wins here, so pick things that will be doable in a short time frame. And again, I stay with that 30-minute window. And finally, make content marketing a priority. That means you've got to actually do it. So take whatever steps are necessary to make it happen, like putting appointments in your calendar, adding it to your to-do list, or even hiring a freelancer to help you out. Currently 12:26, you're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com. I think that millennials, and I don't know whether we're in Generation Y or Z or anything, but the folks who are under the age of 30 are getting sometimes a bad rap. They're getting called lazy. They're getting called spoiled. They're called the trophy generation, which I take a little bit of offense to. But, you know, they want it now. And I've heard stories of kids going into interviews, and when they get that proverbial question of where do you see yourself in 5 years, and they always say, well, I'm going to be in your chair, you know, that's a loss right there. So what is it that matters to millennials at work if you have some young guns working with you? Now, many U.S. employers are caving into the demands of Generation Y workers, but are they taking it too far? Do you have millennials in your workplace? And if so, you better be serving a larger purpose and keeping an eye on the young men vying for leadership spots. A survey released recently by Deloitte Global found those and other characteristics are distinguishing the millennial workforce from older generations. 6 in 10 millennials said they chose to work for their current employer partly because it has a sense of purpose, although 75% said they believe businesses are more focused on their own agenda than on improving society. We think of millennials as being idealistic, but they're certainly not naive, said Steve Allman, who's the global chairman of Deloitte, in a recent interview with CNBC.com. The survey found that millennials believe business leaders are too focused on short-term financial targets and their own personal rewards. They would prefer leaders spend more time on the larger purpose, making a positive impact on society and on the skills and development of their own staff. The survey also found a gender gap in terms of leadership ambitions. About 59% of millennial men said they were likely to seek the top spot at their organization, compared with 47% of the women, and men were also more likely to rank their leadership skills as strong. That ambition and self-assessment gap is not unique to millennials. While they hold a little more than half of all professional-level jobs, women lag substantially behind men when it comes to their representation in leadership positions. A report released last year by the Center for American Progress found women hold fewer than 17% of Fortune 500 board seats and fewer than 15% of executive officer positions. Much has been said elsewhere about the need to improve gender diversity in the boardroom and in leadership more generally, said Deloitte's Allman. This is another prompt to business that more attention needs to be paid to nurturing talented younger women, not just mentoring them, but overtly sponsoring them as potential future leaders. Dan Schauble, who's the founder of WorkplaceTrends.com and himself a millennial, is optimistic, noting that the pay gap between men and women is already starting to narrow with the millennial generation. One study by the Pew Research Center found that in 2012, women between the ages of 25 and 34 made 93% as much as men in the same age group in terms of hourly earnings. Among women of all ages, the gap widened to 84% of men's earnings. Change is happening, said Schauble. It's just going to take a little more time. The Deloitte survey, which included millennials in 29 countries, is Deloitte's fourth annual global millennial survey. And once again, this generation appears quite confident in what they have to offer. Just 28% said they believe their employer is making full use of their skills. There's an opportunity for business leaders to enhance their recruitment proposition and seek a competitive advantage in their own market, said Allman, by nurturing and developing those skills that millennials themselves say they lack. Technology, media, and telecommunications were viewed by the survey respondents as the most desirable sector to work in, though men were almost twice as likely as women to rank this sector number one. Just 8% of the survey respondents named banking and financial services as their number one sector. Are these results just reflecting the confidence and optimism of youth? Perhaps, but by 2025, millennials are expected to comprise 75% of the global workforce, according to the Business and Professional Women's Foundation. So here's a note to businesses: ignore the millennials' wants and needs at your own peril. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com. We'll be right back.
This is USA Radio News. I'm Bob Kellogg. Jordanian fighter pilots carried out airstrikes against the Islamic State group today, reportedly killing 55 ISIS members in retaliation for the terrorists' burning to death of a Jordanian pilot held captive. AP correspondent Karen Loeb reports King Abdullah has promised harsh reprisals.
Jordan's king has pledged to wage a harsh war against the Islamic State group after the militants burned a captive Jordanian pilot in a cage and released a video of that killing, the king says that this is a war about values and that Jordan will hit hard at the very center of the strongholds of the militants.
The fighter pilots buzzed the hometown of the dead pilot in triumph after the sortie was carried out. Shortly after the release of the video, Jordan executed two al-Qaeda prisoners, including the female prisoner ISIS wanted released in exchange for the pilot. You're listening to USA Radio News.
What fuels you? Here's Kim going downtown for a dance class. Going to her daughter's soccer game.
Come on, Katie, you can do it! Woo-hoo!
Kim fuels up at Exxon and Mobil stations, where our quality gasoline helps improve fuel economy, Woo! And where she could win $1,000 in free Exxon Mobil gift cards just by telling us what fuels her,
yes!
Like dance class or her kids. 10 weekly winners. Full details at Exxon.com or Mobil.com. Exxon and Mobil. Energy lives here.
No purchase necessary. Ends April 7, 2015. Restrictions apply. Actual fuel economy benefits may vary.
Tonight, it's the move everyone's been waiting for. The Blacklist moves to the all-new NBC Thursday with an episode people will be talking about.
Consider it a bonus.
Then, it's the premiere of Allegiance, the thrilling new drama the critics are already calling outstanding, impressive, Entertainment Weekly raves. This new drama will make you pledge allegiance. The premiere of Allegiance follows The Blacklist on a great new night of dramas. Tonight at 9, 8 central, the all-new NBC Thursday.
And I'll be taking care of business.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gannot. The weather for today, currently 28 degrees here in Flemington, and for today it'll be partly cloudy with a snow shower throughout the early afternoon and a high of 30 degrees. Tonight it'll be frigid with a low of only 3 degrees. Watch for any standing water that will freeze up. Tomorrow it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 25 degrees and a low of 15. For Saturday, sunny skies with increasing clouds in the afternoon and a high of 36 with a low of 23. And for Sunday, it'll be cloudy with a high of 31 degrees, a low of 23, and snow likely throughout the day and evening with possibly the accumulations of 1 to 3 inches expected. That snow will continue into Monday and Tuesday as well. The Associated Press has just come through with some breaking news that Sony co-chairman Amy Pascal is resigning 3 months after the major hack that happened at Sony Pictures. So Amy Pascal out as co-chairman of Sony Pictures. Well, there are three essential secrets to retaining your best employees, and I've got them, and I'm going to share them with you now. Now, you can't do it all alone, so in order to succeed, it's essential to build exactly the kind of staff you want. And Joe Gibbs, the former Washington Redskins coach and currently the owner of Joe Gibbs Racing in NASCAR, I think said it best when he said, sometimes it's best to hire the right people, let them do their jobs, and then just get out of their way. And now you've got to be able to foresee the challenges ahead. And when it comes to creating an amazing team, you can count on the fact that employee retention will be a challenge. Everyone wants to hire the best. So how can you ensure that you'll retain your most valuable employees amid all the changes occurring within and outside of your organization? All that trouble that your company put into searching and interviewing and hiring the best candidate for the position, all the resources spent on training that person and acclimating them to your business culture, it all goes right out the window if they leave. Money goes right out of your pocket and into your competitor's coffers the moment that employee decides that his or her value will be better appreciated somewhere else. The good news is that you can retain valuable employees with the right combination of thoughtful communication and collaboration. Now, you can't cut corners on this piece of the puzzle without the risk of losing the best talent and brains of your organization to your competitors. And I can tell you this, most organizations are totally doing it wrong. They're hemorrhaging their top talent, and here is why. And here's how you can avoid doing it. Number one, you get the behaviors that you reward. Your organization is probably rewarding plenty of counterproductive behaviors in your employees without even realizing it. Does your company reward loyalty and the creation and sharing of truly new knowledge? Or does it reward knowledge hoarding and an every man for himself attitude and routinely make a big deal about achievements that aren't truly meaningful advances in wisdom, but instead just puffed up chances to showboat? If you want employees who innovate vigorously and who stay with you for the long haul, you need to reward their hard-won wisdom by teaching them to see the importance of their contribution to building a shared knowledge base. Now, I've said this before, you get the behavior you reward, so you have to put in place a reward system for sharing knowledge, which is, after all, your most crucial asset. keep at the top of your mind that there are many significant ways to reward people, and not all of them involve compensation. Number two, it's not just the money, it's the purpose. It's common to think that the fattest salaries will do the best job of retaining talented employees, and that's just not so. Money is important, but humans do not live on bread alone. Your top employees need a sense of being validated, seen, and recognized for their work. They also need to feel vividly that their efforts are making an impact in your organization. So how do you let your employees see and feel and experience the positive effects of their work? In a world where many of us work in intangibles like ideas and information, it's absolutely key to provide people with the feedback letting them know that they've made the difference. In order to really reward your employees, you need to not only pay them competitive salaries, you need to also align them with your sense of purpose and show them tangible signs that their efforts help to drive that purpose forward. And number three, relate to your employees. From your future view to theirs, most organizations make the mistake of relating to their employees on the basis of the short-sighted demands of the present moment and from past habits. That's a fast way to nip innovation in the bud among the most talented and committed staff members. In order to succeed, you need to communicate and collaborate with your staff. Now, most people are not fully aware of what their, quote, future view is, but you have one. Everyone has one, but often without realizing it or examining what it is. Being unaware of it does not mean it doesn't control you, because it most certainly does. You have to become aware of your future view. Where do you want your company to be? Where do you want your employees to be? Because it puts a tremendously powerful strategic tool in your hands. It hands you the control of your own future. Your future view determines which actions you'll take in the present and which you'll avoid taking. And different future views from different people can create different realities. Therefore, as an executive, are you managing the future view of your employees regardless of current economic conditions? There are people working in your company right now who are already online and on the phone looking for another job. Why? Because their future view, as it pertains to them, doesn't include working for your company. There are also people who are planning on staying. Why? Because they believe that working for your company factors into where they want to be and how they'll get there. So to have the best chance of retaining your most essential employees, you need to get a clear focus on what your future view is and communicate it and collaborate it with your staff and make sure theirs aligns with yours. With the proper application of these principles, you and your staff can look forward to a productive and rewarding future together. It's currently 12:38. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Well, one thing when we talk about millennials is the word or the term work ethic. And it's something that when you mention it to a young person, sometimes they give you that quizzical look, that, you know, the high-pitched sound when the dog looks at you and he kind of tilts his head to the left or to the right. So how do you define the term work ethic? Now, it's important to small business owners, in fact. Respondents to a recent Manta survey reported it as the most difficult trait to find in potential hires. But what is this thing everyone seems to be looking for? And mind you, your version of the next guy's version may be two very different things. Work ethic is a principle, and therefore not black and white. So when you're looking for someone to fit the bill, don't assume that they know what you mean when you talk about work ethic. Be specific about your definition and have a discussion to make sure nothing gets lost in the translation. Now, if you were to search work ethic on Indeed.com, you'll get hundreds of thousands of results. Why? Because employers want it. In fact, they want it so much that it's often listed above education and experience. But guess what? Work ethic doesn't exist. It's not a real thing. Work ethic is a belief. And if you don't believe it, grab your phones, ask Siri or Cortana or Google now to define work ethic, and you hear something like the principle that hard work is intrinsically virtuous or worthy of reward. Well, work ethic is a principle, and as a principle is a belief or an idea. It's a kind of general rule, which is nice to know and high level and all, but you can't hire a principal and expect it to sweep under the counter before it goes home at night. A recent Manta survey asked small business owners to identify the most difficult trait to find when hiring, and 48% of respondents noted a strong work ethic. But it's likely that this four-word phrase meant something unique to each of them. Work ethic is also assumed. Most of us assume that everyone shares our definition of work ethic. Not so, says Eric Chester, an author, speaker, and the founder of the Center for Work Ethic Development. What business owners and hiring managers mean when they list work ethic as a must-have hiring trait, according to Chester, is that they want someone who works like them and is wired like they're wired. Most people who are business owners or managers rose through the ranks because of their work ethic. You know they showed up for work on time. They did what they were told. They gave their best, and they respected the rules. They played the game. You may be nodding your head in agreement right now because that is what most people mean when they say they want to hire a strong work ethic. They want a person who knows how to play the game. But what game? And by whose rules? Unlike in generations past, today's job seekers don't show up with work ethic in their pockets alongside the keys to the car. They work two jobs to earn. Grateful for any wage offered and happy to do any dirty job that needs doing. It's that's if that's your expectation and you view modern applicants through that lens, you'll continue to seek work ethic in vain. Work ethic is workplace cultural. Now, Chester, in researching his newest book, On Fire at Work, How Legendary Leaders Ignite Passion in Their People Without Burning Them Out, which is due to be released later this year, interviewed thousands of leaders in business, large and small, that are today's desired employers. Those consistently earning top marks as the best places to work. What he learned was completely at odds with his own expectations. Leadership at these companies is shifting focus from what's best for customers to what's best for employees. They've figured out that by giving employees what they want and need to thrive in the workplace, in short, what they expect, customer happiness will take care of itself. And what employees want and are demanding in huge numbers is, at the very least, flexible schedules, collaborative work cultures, a shot at making the world a better place, and a living wage. Oh, and your help and respect is also on the list. Now, work ethic is teachable. It is possible to create a company culture that demands a strong work ethic and will nudge out those who don't embrace it. But leadership has to instill it. So let's jump back to the model that work ethic is an assumed belief that varies from individual to individual. Where is the bridge to teaching it? If you're still living in the land of how dare they expect anything, they should be happy for the job, Chester has a suggestion for you, and it isn't lowering your expectations. He wants you to stop, breathe, and take a look. Ask yourself the question, what are you doing not to motivate your people, but what are you doing to demotivate them? Try to be grateful for the skill sets they have because many of those skills come in really handy for you. They're fresh, they're young, they're tech savvy, they're streetwise. They can take your cash register apart and put it back together blindfolded, but they can't count back change from a dollar. So help them. Now, Chester is referring in great part to millennials, but stresses that a lack of work ethic can't be blamed on just one generation. Older employees are being asked to shift out of their own comfort zones as well. There are amazing young people out there who play the game and want to climb that career ladder, and there are baby boomers with no work ethic. You can't lay all of this at the feet of the young people, although the young ones, he reminds us, are not yet as baked into bad work habits. In his 2012 book, Reviewing Work Ethic, A Leader's Guide to Ending Entitlement and Restoring Pride in the Emerging Workforce, Chester simplified work ethic this way. He said, it's knowing what to do and doing it. Work ethic is also yours to define. According to Chester, finding and hiring for work ethic may well break down to knowing how to tell employees what to do and explaining how to do it in language that they will understand. Now, he's identified seven terms that together construct the work ethic model that's so elusive to employers. Employers want positive, enthusiastic people, or a positive attitude, who show up on time, see reliability, are dressed and properly prepared, we call that professionalism, who go out of their way to add value, do more than required, we call that initiative, who play by the rules, they respect, are honest, they have integrity, and they give cheerful, friendly service, we call that gratitude. Now, those seven terms, which are positive attitude, reliability, professionalism, initiative, respect, integrity, and gratitude, are core values, fundamental core values that every employer at every level, from part-time mail clerk to CEO, tell me are non-negotiable. Now, clearly, work ethic isn't a thing that shows up in a tidy package ready to work, yet the values inherent in it are definable, actionable, time-tested, and recognizable. And the good news is, you can teach them. So there's a little bit on the term work ethic as it pertains to both millennials and some of our older workers in the workforce. When we come back, going to step away for a little break right now. When we come back, we're going to talk about Staples and Office Depot making plans to merge together. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep.
Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hi, this is Joe Peters at Weikert Realtors. If you are considering buying or selling a house this year, you have probably already gathered a lot of information. In a way, that is a little like taking a drink of water out of a fire hose in that you're no longer thirsty and at the same time are a little overwhelmed by all of the information that you have found. This is where I can be of help. As a local real estate market specialist, I can help you by understanding your objectives, showing you how to assemble that information that you've already found, supplementing it with highly accurate and timely data that I have access to, and assisting you in developing a strategy to turn your objectives into reality. Let's start by spending a few minutes over the telephone. Please give me a call at 908-238-0118 to get that process started. If you are considering buying or selling a house this year, we should be talking now. Once again, this is Joe Peters at Weikert Realtors at 908-238-0118. And you could also visit my site at my first initial J, my last name, Peters.com.
Do you need a great sign to promote your business or organization? Signs by Crown of Flemington is your local professional sign shop and can provide you with high-quality banners, lawn signs, vehicle graphics, pop-up displays, window graphics, wall lettering, magnets, and much more. Signs by Crown can help you with the design, layout, creation, and installation of your signs. Signs by Crown is located inside Crown Trophy at 33 Rayville Avenue in Flemington. Remember, if you have something to say, say it with a sign from Signs by Crown.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business.
Oh, you lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington, Signs by Crown, Crown Custom Apparel, and Crown Promotional. So glad you could join us for another edition of Taking Care of Business. Coming up in a couple of weeks, we're trying to get the schedule down, but we're going to have the general manager of the Beaverbrook Country Club, Ian Church, with us to talk about golf outings, weddings, banquet facilities, and things like that. So looking forward to having him here. And if there's any questions you have as it pertains to renting space or setting up an outing or something like that, by all means, feel free to send us your questions so that we can get them to Ian as well. Well, in news that has kind of been going back and forth for what seems like decades, Staples has agreed to buy Office Depot for $6.3 billion. Now, I'm a little upset with Staples because they didn't offer to buy Crown Trophy of Flemington for $6.3 billion. I thought that would have been a perfect alignment for them. But they have now decided that they are going to buy Office Depot for $6.3 million. Now, this had been rejected many years ago, saying that it would create too large of a company. So why now is it allowed? Antitrust scrutiny is likely to focus on the effect of corporate customers, and there are plenty of places to buy a dozen pens, but if you need 12,000, those options dwindle. And that distinction between the retail market for everyday office and school supplies and the big business of supplying corporations and government clients under contract could loom large as regulators weigh Staples Incorporated $6.3 billion deal to buy rival Office Depot Inc. The merger, which was unveiled yesterday, would take the U.S. down to one chain of office supply superstores from three in just a couple of years. The Federal Trade Commission waved through Office Depot's acquisition of Office Max in 2013, but this current deal may get a closer look. It is conventional wisdom that the office supply market for consumers is highly competitive, with prices kept in check by ferocious competition among retailers such as Walmart stores and Amazon.com, both online and in stores. The FTC validated that view when approving the Office Depot's deal with OfficeMax. The market for business customers has received less scrutiny. It wasn't an issue when the FTC rejected Staples' first attempt to buy Office Depot back in 1997. It wasn't a sticking point when Office Depot bought OfficeMax either. But in that deal, part of the FTC's reasoning is that the parties will continue to face strong competition for such customers from Staples, raising questions about the current review. This investigation isn't going to be about where you and I can buy a stapler, said Amanda Waite, a former FTC litigator who now practices law at the firm Hunt & Williams. It's about where a company can buy 10,000 staplers. Staples chief executive Ron Sargent said on a conference call Wednesday that the company faces a number of competitors in its contract business. There are really strong regional players who bid on contracts all the time and have been very, very successful, Mr. Sargent said. Amazon just launched a business-to-business office products initiative, and they're knocking on our door. Leo Meehan, who's the chief executive of closely held W.B. Mason & Company, a regional office supply seller, said it was too soon to tell whether the merger would hurt his business. W.B. Mason does about $1.5 billion a year in business, about a third of which comes from large buyers, including government clients. Now we're just going to have this one monstrous competitor, he said, but every time there's been a merger, each one has over time brought opportunity for us one way or another. We'll be out there trying. Investors appear to be betting the deal will get real scrutiny from regulators. Office Depot shares closed up 2.2% at $9.49, well below the deal's value of $10.91 a share at Staples' closing price on Wednesday. Staples shares fell 12% to $16.73. Office Depot and Staples will compete fiercely to sell paper, pens, coffee, light bulbs, and janitorial supplies to medium-sized and large businesses, clients that buy supplies direct from the chains without ever setting foot in a store. So there's some big news coming in the business world on another mega merger between Staples and Office Depot. And the FTC believes that regional competitors like W.B. Mason and Amazon can provide enough competition to keep prices down for corporate and government clients. And they may be more likely to approve the merger, experts say. Another factor would be the extent to which companies can buy supplies straight from manufacturers. So very interesting to see how that will play out over the next coming months or years. Sometimes these things do take a lot of time to get approved. Well, let's talk about your blueprint for a successful startup, or what we call Entrepreneurship 101. Many aspiring entrepreneurs have it wrong. They believe that building a wildly successful business will just happen with a snap of the fingers, as if out of nowhere a good genie in the sky will appear to bless their idea and suddenly fill their bank account with billions of dollars. And it's time to wake up. After playing this game for over 30 years, I can say one thing. Building a successful business, in theory, is very simple. However, execution falls into a whole other dimension. Call it the eye-popping, hair-pulling, I can't believe how hard this is state of reality. But if you can do the following five things well, I'm willing to place a bet on your bank account. First is care. Now wait, before we begin, let's get clear on where you need to focus during this entire lifetime of entrepreneurship. And please don't ever let anyone steer you differently. Fixate those eyes squarely on your customer, period. Okay, now that we're on the same page. You must start with a deep passion to serve your customer. It's your purpose, and it burns from within because you care about them. I mean, really care. Not just some brush-off statement, but a deep empathy. Not just in it for the bucks, but in it to serve a calling. Those entrepreneurs who truly care for who they serve usually win in the long run. Seth Goldman at Honest Tea, Blake McCoskey at Tom's Shoes, Tony Shea from Zappos, each cares deeply about, wait for it, their customer. And it shows in the success of their businesses. So fall in love with your customer, and if you can't, you better find someone else to love. Number two, connect. Since you now have a deep passion for who you serve, next up calls for you to get out of your chair, walk through the front door of your workspace, and get out in the streets to have real dialogue with them. It amazes me how many struggling entrepreneurs have never made an effort to truly connect with their customer, and they wonder why they struggle. The bottom line, you have to get to know them. Ask them about their deepest fears and their most vivid aspirations, and then listen to their answers. Hear them, feel them. Believe me, inside the soul of the person we call our customer hangs the key to our success. It's right there on the hook. All you have to do is care enough to connect with them and then go get it. Finally, create. But wait, you may ask, when do we talk about the products and the services I have to offer? Well, here, let's view one story. It's about a woman who spent her life savings building an online software product. It took her 3 years, after which she launched it to the world. Only nobody cared. Nobody wanted it. Sadly, many entrepreneurs that I've met over the years build products, messaging, and services to attempt to wow customers that they never met. They've never connected with. Now, notice where we stick the create verb in this process. Yes, only after you connect with them are you allowed to build anything. And even then, you have to do it lean. Think minimally. And for goodness sake, involve your customers in the process. Ask them for input along the way. Adjust accordingly until you have something that they absolutely cannot live without. Don't worry about being perfect along the way. Your customers will help you make it perfect and fit them and their needs. And this applies not only to your products, but the way in which you communicate the value of those products, your messaging, your story, your value. Next, you have to go and convince them. Now, by now, if you've engaged in a dialogue with your potential customers and you're creating remarkable products, value propositions, and messaging which matches their needs, then it should be fairly easy to move to the next step, and that's convincing them to simply buy from you. In fact, this reminds me of a quote by Robert Stevens, who's the founder of the Geek Squad, which pretty much wraps this notion up in a tidy little bow when he said, "Marketing is the price you pay for being unremarkable." Ouch. Time to make sure we care, connect, and create the right stuff remarkable so it makes the convincing easier. And then finally, the coddling phase. Finally, the day has arrived to blow them out of the water with your service. Now, Clayton Mask, who's the co-founder and CEO of Infusionsoft, calls it the wow factor. I prefer to call it coddling. No matter how you spell it, the fact remains you must work your tail off to keep your customer happy. You know it, I know it, so does your customer. Now look outside your window and you'll see a fast-paced, ever-changing, grass-is-greener on the other side of the fence world, one where a competitor will think of nothing but how to swipe your fickle customer away. So coddle, exceed their expectations, go beyond the call of duty to turn your customer into your loyal friend, your evangelist for life. So is this the end? Of course not. As you can see, you have to always continue this cycle of caring, connecting, creating, convincing, and coddling almost with every transaction that you have with the customer. And you have to constantly remind yourself of why it's important to do so. Currently 12:58 in the NFL, the Super Bowl, as mentioned earlier, was played last Sunday, and the New England Patriots have won their fourth Super Bowl in 14 years over the Seattle Seahawks. In other NFL news, Cleveland Browns quarterback Johnny Manziel has entered rehab as of last Wednesday. In college basketball, Kentucky holds the top spot, followed by Gonzaga, Virginia, Duke, and Wisconsin. Arizona, Villanova, Kansas, Louisville, and Notre Dame round out the top 10. In NASCAR news, there are just 18 days until the Daytona 500, and I can't wait. Last Friday night was the 2015 NASCAR Hall of Fame induction ceremony, and leading the class was former champion Bill Elliott, or Awesome Bill from Dawsonville, as he used to be known. Also inducted were Fred Lorenzen, Wendell Scott, Rex White, and Joe Weatherly. In the NBA, quite a scare Sunday when Brooklyn Nets assistant coach Jim Sands suffered a heart attack and went into cardiac arrest. A team trainer and training staff administered CPR and used a defibrillator to revive Sands, who reminds people, do not ignore the signs. If you're not feeling well, make sure you get checked out. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice that I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. And maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. I'm your host, Jim Gannot. This has been another edition of Taking Care of Business. If you have ideas for program topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGannot83, or on Facebook. I'll talk to you again next week for another edition of Taking Care of Business. Make it a productive week, everybody. Taking care of business.
The news is sponsored by Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
In America, we believe in a future that is better than today. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has been working hard for their clients' futures, never taking a bailout, helping generations achieve dreams, buy homes, put their kids through college, retire how they want to. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you feel more confident about your financial future. Put the strength of a global financial leader to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your dreams and goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated. Member FINRA and SIPC.